Good morning. It is December the 6th, and you have tuned in to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack, and across from me is Jim. We are your usual Thursday morning co-hosts on this program, and coming to you on a bright and cold...
Bitterly cold.
Yeah, St. Nicholas Day, as it turns out. We can talk a little bit about that, but we are going to be joined in the studio here by Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCann from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force, talking about the upcoming Human Rights Day on Sunday, December 9th, this 3 days hence. Jim, how are you doing?
I am doing fine.
That's good.
Flashing back on memories of St. Nicholas Day, I don't know if they did this in Minnesota, but putting out your shoes overnight and you either got stones and sticks or oranges and things like that. And if you got an orange or something like that, that meant you had a smooth slide into Christmas. You didn't have to worry about anything. Santa was going to be good to you. But if you were like me and got sticks and stones and coal, also coal. I don't know the story behind that, but I would always get that. So I would be on my extra best behavior the next 3 weeks so that Santa would, I could move over into the nice list rather than naughty.
Yes. I guess I admire your parents or whoever it was for putting that in. I remember doing this at preschool as sort of a general Christmas holiday celebration thing. But of course, everybody got candy. They can't single out some kid to...
If they did at school, I'd have gotten that stuff too.
Yeah, they can't give somebody coal in there and give all the other kids candy. So anyway...
It was called the fear of Santa.
Yeah.
You know, that this specter was hanging over you during the days of December because... Mm-hmm. We all wanted to be good for December 24th, Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So on St. Nicholas Day, yes, you put out your shoes. It is celebrated here in Western Christian countries, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Romania. However, celebrated on December 5th in the Netherlands and December 19th.
Oh, those Dutch. Dutch.
In Eastern Christian countries. Yes, St. Nicholas Day. We have a chilly forecast ahead, although warming up, we've experienced the most chill that we're going to see this week, and it is now slightly, very slightly warming. Today, patchy freezing fog and a high of 32 degrees, 21 tonight. Tomorrow, a high of 33 degrees.
Ooh, heat wave.
Uh-huh, and sunny. Increasing clouds on Friday night, and then partly sunny on Saturday when it gets up to... 34 degrees.
Whoa.
I know.
Sunscreen time.
And then patchy freezing fog on Saturday night. 36 on Sunday. Patchy freezing fog, then partly sunny. Chance of snow. 50% chance of snow on Sunday night. Low down to about 29, 30 degrees. Then on Monday, rain or snow is likely because about 60% chance of precipitation and a high of 38 degrees.
Oh my goodness. Well,
yeah.
My sister and brother-in-law in Arlington, Virginia are back from their holiday in down in Orlando, Florida in Disney World. And so we weren't able to do the DC weather, which is very important because they're tuning in with their Alexa thanks to the magic of technology. And I think they're still gnawing on their turkey legs that they get there. That's the biggest thing. I guess you pay like $12, $13, $14, and you gnaw all day on turkey legs.
Huh.
Yeah. That's my response, too. Nonetheless, D.C. weather, 39 degrees now, cloudy, high of 44 this afternoon with some sunshine.
Mm-hmm. That's a little different than what we have here. The turkey leg thing, I don't understand. I enjoy turkey as much as the next guy, but...
I guess it's been going on for a while there. I think it started off like at state fairs, like in Texas or wherever.
Sure.
And you gnaw on turkey legs. You just get these big drumsticks and you... I can't think of anything worse because I think they're so bony and tendony and yucky, but... Hey, what do I know?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Anyway, that's that's okay. That's what we do with turkeys.
Absolutely.
But we are here now. I can't really think of a great segue, so let's just...
I can.
Go ahead.
Okay, we've got Brenda Hammond from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning.
And we have with her Sharon McCann. How are you doing, Sharon?
Oh, fair this morning, but I'm here.
Fair. You're here. One little tidbit before we get into our conversation is that Sharon was talking about what tomorrow is, the day that will live in infamy, Pearl Harbor Day, and that she was in Pearl Harbor, Oahu. She was 6 months old. And what did your mother tell you about that day? Do you remember very much?
My dad was at the golf course, and they just thought it was some kind of training exercise. And then they heard on the radio when they got back to the clubhouse that they were being bombed. My mother was just terrified because they were talking about people coming out of airplanes, parachuting out of airplanes. Ah. So she didn't leave the house for weeks and finally was evacuated to Washington State. But
wow.
She said it was really scary.
To be
a young child. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So she was evacuated to Washington State and...
Well, she just decided to leave. Yeah. My dad went overseas and she went to live with her parents.
Sure. Yeah. Was that the end? Did she then stay there? Did you ever go back to Hawaii?
Oh, yeah. I was raised in Hawaii. We went back in
45,
46, yeah. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the way she said what I would say, Hawaii.
Yeah.
She had a glottal stop.
See? You can always... Hawaii.
Oh, there you go.
You can always tell somebody who grew up there.
There you go. There you go.
That's how they pronounce it in Hawaii. But Hawaii. But I don't know why we don't say it that way over here. Why did we all get trained wrong? I don't know.
Or differently. Dinah Wall, from the Festival at Sandpoint, mm-hmm. when she comes on, she shares that bit of wisdom. But we have Sharon and Brenda here, and let's start off the conversation by my reading the press release that would put all of our conversation in a context. This is a press release from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force from 11/29/18. On Sunday, this coming Sunday, December the 9th, the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force will host a celebration of the 70th anniversary of Human Rights Day. This year's event will focus on the right to, quote, seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media, close quotes, as expressed in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. At this time, journalists all over the world and even here at home are under assault. Representatives of the Daily Bee, The Reader, KRFY, and KPND will form a panel to discuss the important role that journalism and the freedom of the press plays in our community and in our democracy. The public is invited to join in this celebration, which will begin this Sunday, December the 9th, at 1 p.m. at Sandpoint High School Auditorium. And that was the press release. Brenda, you wrote that, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you tell it's my writing style?
It's charged. It clicks with electricity. Can you give a little background to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights?
Well, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was signed at the United Nations in 1948. And this was the result of a period of work by a commission that was actually headed by Eleanor Roosevelt. And to just put into words what were considered human rights that were the rights of people all over the world. And the vision was, I'll read just a little bit of this. The vision was a world in which human beings shall enjoy freedom of speech and belief and freedom from fear and want, and based on the fundamental principle that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. So there were 48 I'm sorry, of the member nations of the United Nations that signed that into, well, into a document in 1948. And currently, I think there's 192 members of the United Nations who sign on to this as they become members.
Was this, let's see, I was doing my math and I subtracted 70 from 2018, and that would be 1948. Mm-hmm. And would this be part of coming out of World War II?
Absolutely. The feeling was that we, you know, as a world, we didn't want to go through that again. And that the fundamental respect for the dignity of each human being and the belief that we are all born with the same right to that respect and dignity and freedom from fear and freedom from want was the basis of this document being created. And Eleanor Roosevelt said, you know, that she realized, that everyone realized, I guess, that it was before its time. But just as the Declaration of Independence was before its time as well. The self-evident that all men are created free and equal is something that we have been working toward since the time it was written. And certainly the Declaration of Human Rights is something that is far from being attained worldwide or even nationally. And we could talk more about that if you want, but that's kind of the history of it.
And how does it dovetail in with the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force, like celebrating this day the last couple of years?
Well, I think it's very significant to the Human Rights Task Force. We were founded originally in the early 90s as a response to the Aryan Nations threat. And not only the Aryan Nations, but other white supremacist organizations who envisioned this whole region as a white homeland. And that was their goal, to make this a haven for white folks. And so the task force was founded at that time and in many ways responded to this kind of ideology and various iterations that it appeared in our community. But then when the lawsuit actually ended the Aryan Nations' hold on their property there, and they lost their property, they lost their headquarters, there was no more a magnet here for people of that ideology to gather, the function of the task force kind of needed to be rethought. And in the process of doing that, we turned to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights as kind of a blueprint for what we want to do in the community, because it includes all kinds of rights, not only political and civil rights, but social and economic rights, the rights of women and children to be given, you know, specific significance. So there's a whole kind of blueprint that we could go by that certainly broadens our mission.
Hey, here I am. The commission that wrote the Declaration of Human Rights, besides Eleanor Roosevelt, do you know anything else about who was on it or what that panel, that group comprised of?
I really don't. I have a book here about it, but I really don't know the member nations that were involved in that commission.
Are there human rights? Was it a contentious process? I mean, were there things that people said, no, this is a human right, and other people said, well, that's not really something we want to acknowledge as a human right?
I think it was. It went on for quite a while, and there were various versions of it, various drafts that went around. It wasn't something that they could sit down and quickly agree upon. But I think the conclusion at the end was there was the feeling that they had, you know, kind of codified what could be universally accepted as human rights.
Yeah. Has it just stood in this form for 70 years, or has it been amended in any way?
I don't think it's been amended.
Yeah. Well, it, have we talked about, I guess there are, what, 20, 30 articles? 30 mm-hmm. articles, mm-hmm. so it's a little long to go into each one. I was going to ask you, you know, what the, how we do, I mean, is there a good way that you can sum up what a human right is versus what's a, you know, a privilege or what's a, I don't know, a whatever the rest of the stuff we do is, if we don't have a right to it.
Well, the first five articles mm-hmm. are considered the basic human rights.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act toward one another in a spirit of brotherhood. The second is everyone is entitled to all the rights and freedoms set forth in this declaration without any kind of discrimination based on race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth, or other status.
Hmm.
Everyone has, this is three, everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of person. Number four, no one shall be held in slavery or servitude. And number five, no one shall be subjected to torture or to cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment. Hmm. So those are considered the basic human rights. And it's interesting, I mean, they've been divided up into kind of different categories. The United States has yet to ratify or represent in law all of the articles. So the United States entered into a covenant in 1966 to ratify the civil and political rights mm-hmm. that are spoken of there. And then in 1966 also the elimination of all forms of racial discrimination. And then in 1994, the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel or Degrading Treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But the rights that concern social, economic, and cultural issues, discrimination against women, the rights of the child, these have yet to be ratified by the United States.
Yeah, interesting and obviously well ahead of its time, as you mentioned.
Yes.
I'm surprised at that it was so, that it was able to get such support in the United Nations. There wasn't any kind of, or I suppose there was within the group some pushback, but it's so far everybody who has joined the United Nations has signed on as a condition to do so, I suppose.
192, and there were some members of the United Nations at the time that did not sign it.
Oh,
there were, I believe, 10, and that I think simply abstained.
Yeah,
Saudi Arabia was one of them.
Sure.
I don't know why that sticks in my mind, but I think one thing that is significant, if we may want to leave the history behind, but I love this. In one of her last speeches to the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
Eleanor Roosevelt said, where, after all, do universal human rights begin? In small places close to home, so close and so small that they cannot be seen on any maps of the world, yet they are the world of the individual person, the neighborhood he lives in, the school or college he attends, the factory, farm, or office where he works. So she saw the document as largely an educational document,
mm-hmm.
something that people can learn about and learn to live by.
Mm-hmm. And a local document, too.
Yes.
I mean, it begins, you know, I think of that Steve Earle song, Revolution. It begins in your own backyard.
Right.
And you spin off. I was looking through the little Universal Declarations of Human Rights, this little pamphlet put out by the University of Minnesota Human Rights Center, and I was looking at number 14, how some of these echo and resonate today. Number Article 14 said, everyone has the right to seek and enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution. And boy, does that echo what's happening today on our southern border.
Right.
You know, the laying out of the articles does not mean that these have been achieved.
Right.
These are goals to work towards. Did any catch your eye, Sharon? You're sitting there with an open book. did any resonate with you?
Well, I just wanted to read the one that pertains to what we're doing on Sunday, and that's Article 19. Everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers.
You know, when I hear you read that, Sharon, you know, I stop and think, much like the founders of our important documents in American history, how that changes with, let's say, just recently, with the rise of the internet, Facebook, you know, it being manipulated and used in ways that whoever dreamed, you know, that how a lot of these different bills or different sections, articles in this book, how they need to be looked at through our present day filters as opposed to 70 years ago.
Yeah. They would, is there, I mean, there are some things in here, of course, that I don't see, you know, mentioned by name. I haven't read the whole thing. They may be in here, you know, somewhere. But is there any, has there ever been any movements to add rights to the Declaration or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I think there's some things that need to be added, but...
Yeah. Right, yeah, I guess that's what I wonder.
Or maybe expanded upon.
Yeah.
It talks about, you know, no discrimination. I mean, it's broad enough that you can insert your own particular causes and...
Well, if you look at like Article 16, men and women of full age without any limitation due to race, nationality, or religion have the right to marry and found a family. What was it? Loving versus Virginia? It wasn't until 1968, I think, where interracial couples. And that was a Supreme Court ruling that was not because there, I think, at least two-thirds of the states at that time had laws on the books.
Right.
So it did not have universal state support. And so that would have been like 21 years after the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Right. And then there's a number of articles that have to do with social economic issues. Like here's everyone without any discrimination has the right to equal pay for equal work. Translate that into today.
What were they thinking?
What a notion.
Yeah, what were they thinking of at that time, and how even 70 years later, you know, they're, you know, that equal work, equal pay, that concept is still not being adhered to.
Yeah. Right. We are here with Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCann from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force talking about what's going on this Sunday, December the 9th, celebrating the 70th anniversary of the Declaration of Human Rights.
Should we take a music break now, and then we can focus in? We've been looking at, before we take the music break, I want to, where can one get a copy of this little pamphlet? It looks like a passport. You know, when I walked in here, I go, oh, passports, where are we going to go to? Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It is just perfect. Where does one get copies
of
this?
Well, you can get them from the Human Rights Task Force. We have an accumulation of them. Certainly, they'll be available at our event on Sunday. And if you can't make that event, just let us know and we can send them to you.
Perfect. Perfect. We're going to take a music break and then return and talk about the event on Sunday, December the 9th. It was on this date in 1968, December 6th, 1968, that an extremely young James Taylor released his first album, self-titled James Taylor, on Apple Records. And if that sounds familiar, that was the label that was created by the Beatles. And the uniqueness of this is that James Taylor was the first non-British artist to appear on Apple. So I chose a song from that first album that takes you back a ways. Here is, I'm trying to remember which one I queued up. Something
in the Way She Moves.
Something in the Way She Moves by James Taylor from his debut album from 1968 on this date.
Something in the Way She Moves by James Taylor, released on this date, on or around this date, in 1968, on, as you said, Apple Records. Surprisingly, didn't know that. Didn't know that was his. That was just his original.
He only
home.
Did one album,
sure.
For Apple Records, and I'm sure there's a backstory in terms of how he got on that label and why he did not continue with that label. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he went over to Columbia. After that, but just incredible burst of energy when he comes, because on his next album he's going to do Fire and Rain mm-hmm. and Sweet Baby James and all those wonderful James Taylor, early James Taylor songs.
Yeah, the first album was not a success, I don't think. Commercially, not a success.
It was enjoyed by a lot of people in the music business who knew. How's that?
Okay, yeah. it makes sense to me. We are here with Sharon and Brenda from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force talking about the upcoming Human Rights Day, the 70th annual, or the 70th birthday, I guess, the 70th anniversary of the signing of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights by the United Nations. We've been talking a little bit about history so far. Let's talk about the future, like 3 days from now. What's going on Sunday?
Well, I think the task force has celebrated this day for many years in different ways, often combined with Martin Luther King Day and the student art show, which we'll talk about more. But the last couple of years, we've chosen the venue of the high school because I think, as Brenda said, Eleanor Roosevelt saw this as a educational opportunity. And so we tried to involve the students at the high school with the Model UN class, which has involved teachers, it's involved parents, and gotten students more involved. Last year, we had Carla Pepperzak, who was a Dutch resistance worker from Spokane. She's 90 years old and has started just speaking about that recently. And before that, 2 years ago, I think we had some speakers on Islam and a young student from Lewis and Clark High School. Is that what it's called in Spokane? About what it was like to be a Muslim in Spokane. This year, we decided to focus on journalism because of what's going on nationally and locally and how there have been some threats against several journalists in this community. So we focused on Article 19. So we're going to have a panel of Cameron Rasmussen from The Reader, Chris Bessler from KRFY, Mike Brown from KPND, the young woman from the Cedar Post, which was not in the press release because we didn't know whether she could show up, and I can't remember her name. Corinne, maybe? I think so. Keith Kennard from the Daily Bee. And they will just, each of them will speak about journalism and how it relates to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And their feelings about it in this community. The mayor will be speaking briefly. Brenda's going to give a short history of the UDHR. and we are just hoping again to, invite, we're hoping that the teachers and students will be as involved as they were last year, because we had a really good showing last year. And then, I don't know, do you want me to talk about the art show too?
Well, we could talk briefly about why the selection of the media. When I think back of 70 years ago when the document was written, Who would have ever imagined like a 24-hour news station? That how does one work one's way through the different avenues and challenges and alleyways mm-hmm. of to figure out what makes sense, what does not make sense? Right. How do I filter? Because there is that. You know, you think back of 70 years ago, you had newspapers, radio, mm-hmm. Television was just beginning, but it was primarily print media and magazines. And now today you look at the thickness of the different newspapers. That ought to tell you something, that we are getting our news from elsewhere. And the importance of making decisions about how does one, and of course, the media is being attacked in terms of that favorite word, fake news. Well, then how does one find out the unfake news? You know, so I think that's a really an appropriate topic. And thanks to the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force for running with it.
Mm-hmm. Will you guys be handing these out at being the Universal Declaration of Human Rights?
Absolutely, yes.
We've got boxes of them.
Yeah. So this is on Sunday, December the 9th. That starts at, what did we already mention, what time
it 1 starts? O'clock.
Okay.
Is 1
this,
to 3.
Is this mm-hmm. for the whole family?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, and what? How long will, if somebody says, oh, I've got a dinner, I've got to get a dinner plan at 4 o'clock over to wherever, how long will it run, do you imagine?
And we think until about 3, but that leaves time at the end for discussion and questions and also just social mingling with refreshments. So,
isn't that true with anything of this nature, the social aspect of seeing people, friends, neighbors, local folks who you have not seen in weeks or months?
Right.
You know, now that we don't have the farmer's market to do that, we've got to count on other events. Okay, right. So 1 o'clock, and it'll begin with, what's the overall structure of it? Do you have an idea of that?
Well, there'll be, you know, a welcome to everyone, certainly. And then I'll give just a little brief thing on the history. The mayor is going to welcome everyone. And we'll have some comments related to the topic as well. And then each panelist will have an opportunity to speak. And there will be cards handed out to people on which they can write their questions.
Put questions down.
And then there'll be an opportunity to address those questions and have discussion. And then discussion can continue out into the commons outside of the auditorium, where there will be coffee and lots of cookies.
Of course. I mean, what's an event in Sandpoint without cookies and lots of cookies? Absolutely. And Sharon, how does this segue or flood over into the art show on January 16th?
Well, like I said, I think the educational piece is so important. And for the last couple of 10 years, as Brenda said, we have partnered with the high school and the middle school and other schools in the community. The students are given a copy of this booklet and in the art classes, and they choose one of them, and then they depict their response to it in some art form, usually with paintings or drawings. And then we have a reception opening, and then the show stays up for a couple of weeks. Now, it's been in different venues, but last year we held it at the high school, again, for the reason of involving more students and parents. And the response was incredible. I mean, the art that comes out of this is just stunning. And so much conversation going on, asking the student artist, you know, what they were thinking and why they chose what they chose. And it really, there was just people talking for a couple of hours.
So will there be a reception?
There will. And January the 16th will be the opening. It's a Wednesday. And I think the time is 5:30. I'm not sure I have that on here. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, January the 16th. It'll be in the paper. I think the time usually is about 5:30.
And possibly somebody from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force coming on the KRFY Thursday edition of the morning show on the 10th.
Probably so. We can tell you more about that.
We'll make it a date.
Yeah.
We got
it's, it's an excellent event.
Well, I know in years past that when it would be over at the POAC office, impressive, you know, but I did not attend the opening, but after the fact, I went through it and saw it, and I would have liked to have had an opportunity to speak with the artists.
Right.
Now
I think we should mention POAC has been a partner with us, you know, in
from
this,
the beginning.
From the very beginning, and still is. You're going to be working with the art teachers, getting all the art hung and ready for the opening, so we want to be sure to give a shout out to them.
Absolutely. POAC does a great service to the community and another important organization. Just Sandpoint High School, or will there be students' artwork from, let's say, Priest River or Clark Fork, or is it?
Well, what we're encouraging this year, and I don't know how much people will be able to follow through, but we're encouraging each school to have the opening in their own venue.
Perfect.
Because it makes it more possible for more students and parents to participate. There's actually at the high school library, they consider they probably would only have room for the art of the Sandpoint High School students. So it's possible there may be a showing in the middle school library as well. And I don't know what the other schools are doing so far, but we'll be on it, and we'll be getting information out prior to that time.
And for anybody who might not know where the high school is located, it's on Division Avenue or Street? I forget.
Oh, it must be an avenue, but I don't know. It's at the near Michigan Street.
Sure. Yeah. It would,
We'll call it an avenue. Well, on Division, just off of Highway 2.
Right.
And there's the high school. That's 1 o'clock this Sunday, December the 9th. Anything? Well, we've got you down for January 10th. I'll send you an email for sure about that real soon. But anything in closing about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the 70th celebration?
Well, as Eleanor Roosevelt said, it definitely was before its time, as was the Declaration of Independence. We're still working on, learning to live by these principles, but they give us a vision and a way to understand what is universally understood as important to the spiritual and material survival of every human being.
How to live with one another. How to live with one another in harmony and peace.
Right.
No matter what part of the world you come from, whether it be from a place that has little snow, like Hawaii. Do you accept that, Sharon? It sounded forced.
A little bit. Yeah.
It sounded forced. Okay. But I think the principles behind and how they play themselves out over the years, the particulars, the details, I think is fascinating. But I want to thank both of you, Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCann, for coming down on this bitterly cold morning.
Yeah.
Okay, I live up here.
It's North Idaho.
Sharon, do you ever long for, like, on a December 6th, walking on the beach, sand between your toes?
Absolutely.
Too bad we're not a visual medium, because she's just nodding her head like crazy. I wish both of you a good rest of the day, and we're going to do a song. On this date exactly... 49 years ago, December 6, 1969, the Rolling Stones released an album that many people consider to be one of their best works, Beggar's Banquet. And this is the last album on which Brian Jones appears before he extincts himself. And here is a song from it. It has not only Sympathy for the Devil, but Street Fighting Man, Salt of the Earth. But here's a cut that I rather like. Called No Expectations from Beggar's Banquet. That is No Expectations from an album by the Rolling Stones that was released on December 6th, 1969. And it's the last album that Brian Jones played on, and that was released while he was still alive. He will play on two songs on the next album, but he will already have passed by then, which I consider their next album to be the best Stones, Let It Bleed.
You think so?
Well, many people consider Exiles on Main Street.
Yeah.
But that's almost an overload of good stuff. It's a double album at that time. But boy, I think Let It Bleed, song after song after song, just hits a home run.
Yeah. Well, it's it's definitely, I would say, I mean, it's my favorite period of the Rolling Stones. And it's
they were productive.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the most productive about four albums in a row of just
bam, 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 bam.
Solid gold. Yeah. Perhaps. I would say they're more productive in this period than, well, let's not debate it.
we just recognize how wonderful they are. Yeah. So that was released on December 6, 1969. Thank you, Rolling Stones.
We are looking ahead
calendar.
Now.
Okay, let's talk tonight at the Panada Theater. Mm-hmm. Not only will they be showing Nutcracker Suite, mm-hmm. The Four Realms, but also in the Little Theater, a movie I'm going to be volunteering at. I've been looking forward to this. This one, Wildlife, with Jake Gyllenhaal. It's going to be at the Panada Little Theater. I've got to be there at 5:45, so that means the movie in the Little Theater starts at 6:30, and I'm really excited about this movie because when I went to San Francisco early in November, this one had just left the Embarcadero, and I was really disappointed that I didn't get a chance to see it. So, and it takes place in Montana, but my understanding is, like many films that take place in Montana, they're filmed in north of the border, up in Canada.
Yes, I think that's very common. I know what was it? A River Runs Through It takes place in Missoula, but was not filmed in Missoula.
Well,
but I think it was
Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
That's another one that was filmed up north of the 49th parallel.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? I can't. Anyway, I now have the music going, our little background music. And,
well, speaking of music, tonight at the new brewery, Matchwood Brewery, at 513 Oak Street, it hosts Jazz Thursday from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. with Bright Moments Jazz. It's free and open to the public. That's tonight at Matchwood Brewery over in the Granary District.
Toys for Tots registration. Did we mention that already? I know they
No, that's Friday. I'm done with Thursday.
Okay. Coming up in, there is Toys for Tots registration continuing from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 609 South Ella Street by the Big Yellow Caboose. If that's over by the park, Lakeview Park. If you need some help getting Christmas toys for your children, age 1 through 12, then stop by and apply. Older children, ages 13 through 18, will receive a gift certificate. The Lions also provide food boxes to families so that they can enjoy a nice Christmas dinner. 208-263-4118 is the phone number if you want to leave a message, or visit sandpointlions.com for more information.
And tomorrow night, the 7th, is Girls' Night Out. The Sandpoint Shopping District hosts the Girls' Night Out Downtown Shopping event. Retailers downtown will host specials and later hours, with participating stores staying open until 8 p.m. That's tomorrow night, December 7th. You can find out more information on the Facebook page.
This will be partnered later on in the month. I think it's like right before Christmas. I think it's the day before Christmas Eve or something that they do the boys' night out.
The
mad
scramble.
Yeah, and I'm always grateful for that. But yeah, kind of shop for your significant other on the downtown. Live music at the Poor Authority tomorrow night with Bright Moments Jazz, who, if you didn't catch them at Matchwood, you can go over to the Poor Authority on Friday and see them there. Also, live music at the Winery from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. with Beargrass, wine, bluegrass, and folk at the Pondere Winery. It's also ladies' night out shopping, as we mentioned, so you can check out the items in the tasting room's gift shop. if you're going to the winery.
We have the Idaho Conservation League, a holiday party and artist reception on Friday night from 5:30 to 8:30 in the Columbia Bank Community Plaza building. ICL, Idaho Conservation League, will recap their accomplishment and discuss current and future work. Enjoy tasty appetizers, hearty drinks, and lovely company. How do you like those adjectives? Tasty, hearty, and lovely.
Yeah.
Whoa, how could one not want to go?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, say hello to ICL's artist in residence, Jessica L. Bryant, and view her end-of-the-year exhibit with the help of Pondere Arts Council. Find free and open to the public. That's tomorrow night, 5:30 to 8:30 at the Columbia Bank Community Plaza building, the Idaho Conservation League Holiday Party and Artists Reception.
That's cool. That's cool that the ICL has an artist in residence.
Absolutely. Like and supporting, and yeah. also supported by POAC, Pondere Arts Council.
Mm-hmm.
They do a bang-up job.
Live music at the Wine Bar on the 7th. That's tomorrow with Rob Smitty, one of Sandpoint's guitar and vocal soloists. 7:30 p.m. or 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Don't miss it. That's at the Wine Bar on the Cedar Street Bridge. It's Christmas time. It's the Christmas time edition of the Paint and Sip at the Pottery Buck. 6 p.m. on the 7th tomorrow. Create a Christmas wine bottle centerpiece for the holidays. All embellishments, pearls and ribbons, bottles, paint, cork mini lights, and instructions are included. Bring your best friends and something to sip. RSVP with Gina at the Pottery Bug before the event and let her know that you're going to be coming to the Christmas Paint and Sip at the Pottery Bug.
And tomorrow night, the 7th, in Panada's Little Theater, Swing and Line Dancing. This is going to be from 6:30 to 7:30, followed by Country Swing from 7:30 to 8:30. Ongoing lessons will be held in the Panada's Little Theater every other night. For expenses, how much it costs to get in and whatever, go to www.panada.org. For information and costs of swing and line dancing in the Little Theater on First Avenue.
Jim, I threw up my back last week.
Did you?
Yeah, in fact, 1 week ago.
Doing
nothing. Just woke up with a little twinge and then came in here to the radio station on my bicycle. Probably shouldn't have done that. And then it didn't take it easy all day, and I was practically immobile by the end of it. I'm getting better now.
So how are you now?
Well, yesterday I was on the floor and wagging my tail like a dog. That's what one of the exercises you're supposed to do. And I am starting to feel a little better. But I mention it because this swing and line dancing thing sounds pretty cool. But I shouldn't do it because of my back.
Or maybe have Annie
couple weeks.
Be the male gender role and twirling you around.
That's not a bad idea.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, ongoing with our calendar of events. First Fridays with Devin Wade at McDuff's Beer Hall. This is the first Friday of the month, so it's time for country singer Devin Wade to come on down to McDuff's Beer Hall from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. That is free and open to the public as long as you are 21 and older.
Let's slide over to Saturday, because
sure.
Saturday's got a bunch of stuff, beginning with Breakfast with Santa. This is after the Santa who left coal and sticks and stones in your shoes on December the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
On the 8th, that is Saturday, support the Sandpoint Youth Center and have breakfast with Santa from 8 to 11 at Sandpoint Community Hall, 204 South First Avenue. Enjoy pancakes, scrambled eggs, ham, orange juice, coffee, and hot cocoa to start off your Saturday morning. Then after your tummy is full, get your photo taken with Santa. It's a great time for a great cause with a raffle of amazing prizes. So you can go to online. Tickets can be purchased online at Eventbrite or at Washington Federal at 405 North 2nd Avenue by December the 7th. That's tomorrow. So breakfast with Santa at the... And I was going to say... you know, tickets can be purchased at the door, but I don't know when you have food like that, you want to know how many eggs to scramble, how many strips of bacon to cook. It's nice to have a little bit of numbers. So get in touch with Washington Federal on 405 North 2nd Avenue. Hmm.
The Christmas Fair, the Lake Pontarre High School Christmas Fair is going on Saturday, the 8th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The fair is held in the gym in the back of campus at 1005 North Boyer, 1005 North Boyer. Handmade arts and crafts, artwork, soap, ceramics, and more. Free admission to the Lake Pontarre High School Christmas Fair. I've been to that. Last year it was pretty cool.
You see so much, and you don't have to wait till December 24th to buy your gift.
I know. I should really learn that some year.
Artworks Holiday Reception. Come mingle with local artists and browse Sandpoint's premier art gallery during Artworks Holiday Reception, 4:30 to 7:30 at 214 North 1st Avenue. All art will be discounted 10% during the reception hours. For more information, call 208-263-2642.
Let's see.
A lot of holiday things.
So the Artworks Holiday Reception is independent of the Pondere, the Pondere Winery Art Reception, I take it. Patricia Ragone is the artist with live music by pianist Dwayne Parsons from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Beautiful, brilliant, and colorful images with acrylics and watercolor. You can meet the artist at the reception on Saturday the 8th. We're out of time, Jim. Can you believe it?
That happens.
Yeah.
Jack, you get your back better. Go swing dancing and line dancing at the Little Theater, and we'll catch you next week.
Okay. Thanks for tuning into the morning show. Thanks to Brenda and Sharon, and stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY Pondere.